And right now, today, there is only around 950,000 addresses on the Bitcoin blockchain that hold more than one Bitcoin. And I think that number's peaked forever. I don't think we're ever going to see more than 1 million people hold one full Bitcoin. So Bitcoin's gone from 10K to 65K to 29K, back up to 69K, down to 16K, back up to 100K, and there's been over 10 million coins that have not moved. Then all of a sudden, you only need 0.016 Bitcoin to be a part of this new millionaire class. So again, assuming a Pareto's principle wealth distribution, there would only be 80 million people in the world who would be able to hold 0.016 Bitcoin. Now again, then you've got to assume,
hi, my name is Luke Mikich.
Oh, fucking listening. That's what we're gonna start
I'm
the podcast.
I'm an Australian chap. I love Bitcoin.
That's the start of the podcast, right? Diversification is diversification. LeBron James at 14 years old. The kid's 6'6". He looks like Jared, our roommate, walking around, right?
Okay, back up for a second there. All right, but maybe he doesn't look exactly like Jared, all right? I know he's walking around in a basketball jersey today. Come on, man. All right, go on.
This is where I believe the power law believers haven't done the work. Again, the power law believers, they've done some work, but they're too busy looking at fancy lines on charts when in reality, you need to be thinking about the bigger picture.
The power law predicted 93K by the end of the year. Whoa. The power law is predicting only the peak to be 200,000. Mm. The power law predicted BlackRock. The power law predicted Donald Trump coming in and buying Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. Mm. So tell me, Luke, what else can the power law predict?
I can probably predict when somebody's gonna snap a string of spaghetti. I don't know. I don't know when the... For me, I think it's like a 50 to 60% probability that this cycle, Bitcoin breaks the idea of diminishing returns. For Bitcoin to do that, that means we'd see a top somewhere above 250K. So my base case is we'd actually top somewhere between... I'm putting like a 50% probability on that. And then I've probably got like a 20% probability on us doing something really interesting and topping above. To do it.
Boy, Bing bong, we are live here in Medellin, Colombia with me, my friend Luke Mikich here, the gringo himself. But Luke, it's been a really hot topic here lately with Bitcoin on how much you need to retire, especially with this price action. So from the gringo himself, the 9-to-5 escape artist, tell us, man, how much Bitcoin do we need to retire?
Yeah. So look, we're in Medellin. The lights say it. It's an incredible little city. And it does get me thinking a lot about how much Bitcoin you need to retire. Everybody is debating right now. Can you retire on 0.1 Bitcoin? 0.21 Bitcoin? Do you need a full Bitcoin? Like our friend British HODL is claiming. I think it's a pretty interesting topic because again, Bitcoin is very different to fiat currency. Again, only a decade ago, you could retire on $1 million, right? Not anymore. Now you need $10 million to really retire on fiat. But Bitcoin is very different because your portion of the Bitcoin pie is never going to change, which is why a lot of people say, hey, look, if we expect Bitcoin to continue monetizing in the future, if you hold one Bitcoin, today that is only $100,000. Obviously, we can't retire on that. But what everybody misses is that is 1/21 millionth of the entire Bitcoin network. And right now, today, there is only around 950,000 addresses on the Bitcoin blockchain that hold more than one Bitcoin. And I think that number's peaked forever. I don't think we're ever going to see more than 1 million people hold one full Bitcoin. What do you think? Right now, the price of Bitcoin's 100,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you're probably correct with that, especially with what we're seeing going on with institutional adoption, nation states. I mean, I think it's just going to get harder and harder to get to one Bitcoin. But I still think you have time to get to that one Bitcoin, right? I mean, like our friend British HODL said, you already mentioned it. I think right now is the best time that you'll actually have the opportunity to get to a full Bitcoin. Because personally, I think that time's running out here, especially with this price action that we're seeing, nation state adoption. I mean, we're recording this early January. Trump could come into office and put an executive order said, hey, US needs to buy 200,000 Bitcoin tomorrow. So with all that, do you think with the price appreciation of Bitcoin, do you think we need to get to one Bitcoin, or do you still think, you know, like maybe like a Brian Harrington approach where just get to 0.21 and then eventually that'll appreciate?
Yeah, no, you don't. So I've run the numbers on this. Wealth typically follows something called a Pareto's principle. So this is like the 80-20 rule. A lot of people know that in your business, 80% of the results are going to come from the 20 best employees. And the same thing typically happens in wealth distributions. Typically, 20% of the individuals hold 80% of the wealth. And when you apply a Pareto's principle onto a Bitcoin standard, you can get to some pretty interesting numbers, and there's some pretty interesting projections being made by many Bitcoiners in the space. Our friend, Lukey Broyles, he put out a pretty good tweet thread a while ago that I also did a little bit of extrapolating to, where he actually showed, look, if there is, you know, 16 million Bitcoin available for sale, that's conservative, because I personally don't think there is 16 million Bitcoin available for sale. But if there is, all of a sudden, we have these different brackets of wealth levels. If we're talking about Pareto's principle distribution. So we know there's about 60 million millionaires around the world today. We know there's about 2,500 billionaires. And from memory, with that conservative estimation, if you wanted to be in the class of new millionaires, you only needed something like 0.06 Bitcoin. And under this Pareto's principles distribution, there would only ever be around 80 million people who could ever hold 0.06 Bitcoin. So that's 6% of a Bitcoin. Today, quick maths tells me that that is around $6,000, más o menos, as we say.
I mean, that's about, that's fairly, yeah, at $100,000, right? That's, you know, $6,000.
Yeah, yeah. We're a bit under 100K at the time of recording. But again, I thought that was a little bit conservative. And when you run the numbers and you say, hang on a minute, let's assume there's only 4 million Bitcoin available for sale. Again, we know that there's at least 5 million that are lost, and there are literally over 10 million Bitcoin that have not moved in the past 3 years. So Bitcoin's gone from 10K to 65K to 29K, back up to 69K, down to 16K, back up to 100K, and there's been over 10 million coins that have not moved. Let's assume they're also in the hands of people like Michael Saylor, who aren't going to sell for 10, 20, 30 years. Again, it's a big assumption. You guys can run your own numbers. But if you assume only 4 million of the Bitcoin are actually available for sale, then all of a sudden you only need 0.016 Bitcoin to be a part of this new millionaire class. So again, assuming a Pareto's principle wealth distribution, there would only be 80 million people in the world who would be able to hold 0.016 Bitcoin. Now, again, then you've got to assume how much is Bitcoin worth under that scenario. And that is entirely up to you guys. You guys can let me know what you think how that much Bitcoin would be worth. But under these Pareto's principles distribution, if Bitcoin is the money of the world, there would only be 80 million people who could hold 0.016 Bitcoin. So that is 1.6% of a Bitcoin. So that would be worth somewhere around 1,600 big ones today. So a $1,600 investment into Bitcoin today could put you into a very elite status where only 80 million people from the entire world could be amongst you. So today, what is 80 million people of the 8 billion population? That would put you into the top 1%. If my math serves me correctly.
Look at this quick maths over here from this guy. He's always got it. Yeah, dude.
Got to keep up with you. Yeah. Engineer by trade,
hey,
my man.
Hey, man, just trying. I'm just trying to make it out here. Okay, so 1600, that seems pretty obtainable. But with everything going on, how can you, I guess, go and tell somebody, hey, you only need 1600 worth of Bitcoin. There's real estate out there. People see MicroStrategy, all these other investments. I want to just retire on Bitcoin. I only need 1600. Mm. How can you level with somebody with that and say, hey, this is all you need?
You got to tell them. Have you watched The Matrix? Everybody gets distracted by that pretty girl in that red dress and they don't actually stay laser focused on the mission. They don't understand Bitcoin. So to anyone questioning any advice that I might give them by saying just buy Bitcoin, I would encourage them, look, I mean, you can speculate in MicroStrategy, you can go speculate in shitcoins if you want, but have a look at the data, as we always say. The data doesn't lie, baby.
Show me the data.
Show me the data. Backed by math and science. We might get into an interesting rabbit hole here in a moment about what I think about Bitcoin models. But again, I would just encourage people to do the work. There's been no altcoins that have outperformed Bitcoin over the past 7 years on that kind of time frame. I think the only one might be Dogecoin. So again,
listen to this. There's only one shitcoin that has ever outperformed Bitcoin for multiple 3 month periods, and that's been Dogecoin.
Wow.
And the first one was Dogecoin's first run up. So whatever, every shitcoin can catch fire theoretically, right? And you can beat Bitcoin if you're lucky, for 3 months. Yeah. The only time that happened was Dogecoin's initial run up, and then when Elon tweeted about it. Mm. But outside of that, no other shitcoin or altcoin or whatever you want to call them has ever been able to beat Bitcoin on more than a 3 month span. Mm. So like we're saying here, you can trade, you could speculate, you could do all of that, but play with fire, you're going to get burned, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, if you try to dabble in the altcoins, you're going to just lose out on an opportunity to get more Bitcoin. And, you know, if you try to use some of these models to predict the Bitcoin price, I think that's where you could get a little hairy. So with that, there's been a lot of controversy around the power law. The power law predicted 93K by the end of the year. Wow. The power law is predicting only the peak to be 200,000. Mm. The power law predicted BlackRock. The power law predicted Donald Trump coming in and buying Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. Mm. So tell me, Luke, what else can the power law predict?
I can probably predict when somebody's going to snap a string of spaghetti. I don't know. So again, I firmly believe that Bitcoin is a complex system. Humans cannot predict complex systems. That's my first principles view of the world. So again, I'm skeptical of any model, right? Now, I was skeptical of the stock to flow model. I wrote an 8,000 word article in 2021 when it was very inconvenient for me to challenge a very bullish model predicting 288K. I said, this thing is going to fail. So I don't want people to feel like I'm just picking on the power law model, because again, there are power laws all throughout life in lots of different industries measuring all sorts of very abstract things. So I can see why some people would say, okay, the first 14 years of Bitcoin seems to follow a power law. You know, there's some credentialed people. I was going to say intelligent, but I'm going to say the word credentialed. There's some credentialed individuals who believe that Bitcoin's price is going to follow a power law into the future. Now, my first concern with the power law model is it doesn't factor into the fact that Bitcoin is in a fundamentally different era. So I believe we have lived through two eras in Bitcoin's life. From 2008 to 2020, that was era number one for Bitcoin. 99.9% of all of the trading volume, I believe, was dominated by retail speculators. Okay. And before 2020, we were living through an era where the number of Bitcoin on exchanges, so the available supply to buy, didn't mean that little rhyme there, but the available supply to buy was only increasing. Now, my biggest challenge or my biggest gripe with the power law is I think it's dangerous to grab that 12 years worth of data and then extrapolate that into the future, because I fundamentally believe we're in a different era. Since 2020, the data is very clear. The data says coins have been leaving the exchanges for the past 4 years consistently. And we are now in an era where, for the first time in Bitcoin's life, I believe that the retail speculators, they are not the majority player in the market. The majority player in the market is the big money. And all of a sudden, it is the billionaires like Michael Saylor. It's the nation states. It's the 24 nation states who are talking about implementing a strategic Bitcoin reserves. Pinch yourself. In the past 2 months, we've had 24 different nation states talk about the possibility of creating a strategic Bitcoin reserve. America, Hong Kong, Russia, Switzerland, Poland, these are all G20 giants talking about buying Bitcoin for their goddamn nation state. We did not see this pre-2020. So I'm of the strong belief Bitcoin is in a different era. The total addressable market cap of the speculators buying Bitcoin pre-2020, how much money do retail speculators have?
They're pennies. They're pennies on the dollar.
That's right. So I believe we're looking at two different TAMs. So I believe that if the buyer of Bitcoin post-2020 was not different, yes, I think the power law might hold true. And yes, this theory of diminishing returns might actually be accurate. But this is where I believe the power law believers haven't done the work. Because the retail speculators, again, the power law believers, they've done some work, but they're too busy looking at fancy lines on charts when in reality, you need to be thinking about the bigger picture. Bitcoin has a TAM of $900 trillion. Even if you're incredibly conservative and you think Bitcoin is only going to attract $100 trillion of that $900 trillion as hypothetical inflows, we know Bitcoin's scarce. So even if you think Bitcoin's only going to attract $100 trillion, again, that's pennies. Yeah. There's more fiat currency in the world than $100 trillion. Gold, a shiny pet rock, is worth $20 trillion. You guys really think Bitcoin's not going to be five times bigger than gold? All right, so I think $100 trillion is conservative. You need to use a 6x multiplier effect. So most people would be aware of what the multiplier effect is. Because there is only 20 to 30% of the Bitcoin supply actually available for sale and actively traded, that means for every dollar of hypothetical inflows coming into Bitcoin, it pushes up the Bitcoin market cap by a multiplier effect. Today, in early 2025, at the time we're recording, that number is 6x, around 5.8. So that multiplier effect is at an all-time high. So again, I'm going to get back to the power law just in a second here, but I want to paint the picture. Even if you're conservative, you think Bitcoin's only going to attract $100 trillion of capital in the world. Again, run your own numbers. Run your numbers with $20 trillion. If you think Bitcoin's just digital gold, okay, we're only going to see $20 trillion of hypothetical inflows into Bitcoin. Use the 6x multiplier effect. All of a sudden, Bitcoin has a market cap of $120 trillion. Then you divide by your 21 million coins, because we've taken into account the multiplier effect, and you're looking at a Bitcoin price of $6 million per coin, right? So then you've got to think, right, if Bitcoin's going to follow these diminishing returns and the power law forever, how long does the power law say Bitcoin's going to take to get to $6 million a coin? I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but it is like 3-4 decades away. Do we really think Bitcoin's going to do that for 4 decades? Because again, let's not forget, what happens to the price of Bitcoin when coins on exchanges reach zero?
Quick break from this podcast episode to bring you the safest way to buy Bitcoin on the planet. You gotta go to the well, folks. That's right, the Bitcoin well. They will help you buy Bitcoin and send it directly to your personal wallet. You can sell Bitcoin directly from your personal Bitcoin wallet. And on top of that, if you want to buy large amounts of Bitcoin, they've got some of the most competitive rates in the space where they've got great white glove service. I'll even help introduce you to my friends over at the Bitcoin Well to make sure that they're taking care of you when you want to go through the over-the-counter service. And on top of that, they help support you and the freedom technology that Bitcoin offers. So I wouldn't partner with a company that I don't use myself. So I use Bitcoin Well to make all of my Bitcoin purchases. So I highly recommend them. So why don't you go to thebitcoinwell.com/greencandle and you can sign up today and join the party at the well, maybe even get some tokens where you could throw into the wishing well and potentially win some free sats as well. Enough from me, let's get back to the show.
I mean, that's the supply shock. That's what we're gonna start to see, right? I mean, we're lining out here, right? We have nation states going to buy Bitcoin. We have institutional investors. We haven't even hit on that. The ETFs came out earlier this year. They haven't even been out for a full year yet. And they've been buying billions and billions of dollars weekly. And then on top of that, we've got nation states, which is another step up. And so, you know, with all that, the power law is predicting only 200K for this cycle.
What a joke.
So like with that, like how high do you see this? Well, I think the base case at the very least is 250K. And that's if
We get the strategic reserves pass, but they say, hey, we got to wait a year to implement them. Even without it, I still think we're still going to go above what the power law is saying because of all the things we're lining out. People are going to want to front run these strategic reserves, and the strategic reserves, they're going to be holding forever. 5, 10, 20 years. That's going to be written into law. So these governments are not going to be day trading. So with all that, Luke, I'm going to put you on the spot, man. What's the price prediction for this cycle? What do you think we're getting up to?
Yeah. So again, I don't want to sound like I think there's a 0% possibility that we top at 200K perfectly with the power law predicts. It's a possibility. And, you know, as our good friend George Gammon would say, there are no certainties in life. There are only probabilities. So again, I like to put probabilities on where I think Bitcoin's going to go when I'm giving price predictions. I'm not just pulling my finger out of my rear end and putting it in the air and trying to test it. You know what I mean? So I think like there's a genuine possibility Bitcoin tops at 110K. We've already topped. And it's a 2% probability in my books. I think that's lower than most people's probabilities. There's a lot of perma bears on Bitcoin Twitter who think that's 50% chance we've already topped. I don't think it's likely, but I'm not saying it's a 0% probability. So like for me, I think there's maybe like a 10% chance, 20% chance Bitcoin tops at 200K like the power law predicts. Now that's most people's base case. I think most people believe pretty strongly Bitcoin's going to top somewhere between 150 and 200K because that would mean that Bitcoin is following this idea of diminishing returns. So that's most people have a strong probability or they're putting a strong weighting on that outcome. Bitcoin topping between 150K to 200K. Now, I think that's more unlikely. I think that's more of a 10 to 20% probability. For me, I think it's like a 50 to 60% probability that this cycle, Bitcoin breaks the idea of diminishing returns. For Bitcoin to do that, that means we'd see a top somewhere above 250K. So my base case is we actually top somewhere between 250 and 500. I'm putting like a 50% probability on that. And then I've probably got like a 20% probability on us doing something really interesting and topping above 750 and maybe even touching $1 million. Now, again, there's probably a 10 to 15% probability we hit about $1 million this cycle in my books. Not my base case, but I think it's far more probable than most people think. Most people are giving that a 1% probability, or they're saying it's never going to happen. The crude sin that people should never make in investing is being certain of anything. And a lot of people are saying there's no way Bitcoin's going to hit $1 million this cycle. Some people are saying it's maths and science. Bitcoin cannot hit $1 million this cycle. And again, just while we're talking about the idea of cycles, again, I want to come back to it. For someone to say that the power law model is not invalidated, if Bitcoin goes to $1 million per coin, trades sideways for 5 years, and then it eventually falls back into like two standard deviations of this model, that doesn't mean the power law's held up in my book. I don't think that's true. The creator of the power law has explicitly said on Twitter, I've seen deleted tweets of him saying, you can multiply your Bitcoins by selling it at the top of the bands of the power law and the bottom of the bands of the power law. But then in the other side of his mouth, he's saying, oh no, I'm not doing anything dangerous. I'm not advocating people to trade Bitcoin, but that's exactly what he has said. So again, this is why I don't want to sound like I'm very dismissive of the power law, but I am very dismissive of the power law because I don't want people to get burnt. I really do think more people are going to lose money by being too bearish than being too bullish. I think a lot of people just think Bitcoin's digital gold. They're looking at these cute models and they're saying, okay, Bitcoin's just going to hit 200K next year. I'm just going to have a 20% allocation of my net worth to Bitcoin. And as Michael Saylor would say, that's stupid. That's a terrible idea. The other 80% of your money is melting. The other 80% of your money is looking for a solution. Like Michael Saylor says, diversification is diversification. LeBron James at 14 years old, the kid's 6'6". He looks like Jared, our roommate, walking around, right?
Okay, back up for a second there. All right, but maybe he doesn't look exactly like Jared, all right? I know he's walking around in a basketball jersey today, but come on, man. All right, go on.
Let me get into this. I'll tell you why diversification is a terrible idea. When you have a clear winner or when you have a clear potential basketball star in LeBron James at 14, strutting around at 6'6", right? He's the big swinging Chad going around. You don't tell him, diversify 10% of your time into swimming, LeBron. Or what about you go do some sprints? Those big long levers would be pretty good on the track, don't you reckon, Keith?
Yeah, hey.
I don't think so. You don't tell LeBron to go play fucking ping pong with, all right? You don't tell LeBron to go spend 10% of his time playing Australian football with the bogans like me. No, you tell LeBron, focus 100% of your time and energy on the best thing for you. That's playing basketball. This is how people win. People succeed by going all in on an idea. Okay?
Okay, so you've discovered Bitcoin and are on the path to financial self-sovereignty. But simply holding Bitcoin is not enough. You need to make sure that it's stored properly and you are in 100% control over all your assets. So sharing your keys with third parties and taking on that counterparty risk is not the answer. The answer is pure and simple. It's uncompromising self-custody, and there's no better way to do it than the Bitcoin way. They've got over 25 years of cybersecurity experience, and their team of experts can help you properly self-custody your Bitcoin, secure your digital life, configure your privacy phones, and even establish a Plan B residency if you're looking to do so. So I'm going to help you guys out here and give you a free consultation if you take the first step and visit thebitcoinway.com/greencandle, and you can check out the boys at The Bitcoin Way and see how they can help you become self-sovereign.
Did Zuckerberg, did he become a billionaire by diversifying and building 20 different companies? No, he went all in on Facebook. Did Jeff Bezos diversify and try to create 10 different companies? No, he went all in on Amazon, okay? And I think money is a similar situation. The only people telling you to diversify have no idea what they're talking about because they don't understand the solution. They don't understand what is the best form of money, okay? When the internet came out in the 1990s, do you really think it would have been wise to diversify your time and said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to send 20% of my mail via email, but the other 80% of my mail, I'm going to run it down to the postman. I'm going to hand deliver it. I'm going to lick those stupid stamps. I'm going to spend all that time physically mailing addresses because diversification is a good idea. No, dumbass. Adopting the better technology is the good idea. It's the same as the car and the horse. When the automobile was invented in the early 1900s, there's a really cool chart that shows how rapidly automobiles were adopted and uses of horse and carriage died off aggressively. Okay, and this whole process happened in 10 years. Now, again, was it wise to say, okay, this automobile is pretty cool, it's clearly a better technology, but you know what? 2% of the time I'm going to use the automobile because it looks a bit volatile. The adoption chart of the automobile looks a bit crazy. I mean, look at all of these new cars being created. It's very, very volatile if you chart this, right? Same as the price of Bitcoin. It's very volatile to the upside. And people say, yeah, it's a bit scary. I'm just going to use the automobile 2% of my time. And then the other 98% of the time, I'm going to choose the inferior option that takes me an extra 3 hours to get to work every day. Was that a wise decision, Brandon, to diversify in the early 1900s?
No. I mean, and that's exactly what you're saying, right? Diversification is to protect your wealth, right? You don't get rich diversifying, right? Not at all, right? Just like you lined out Bezos, Zuckerberg, all these big names, they all went all in. But I do think it's interesting now that we're seeing a lot of these corporations realize, hey, cash was king back in 2020, right? That's what everybody was saying. That was the narrative. Were they lying to you then, Luke? Because now it seems like they're all flocking towards Bitcoin. They're all looking at their cash reserves. Yeah, this is shit. This is just sitting here not doing anything. So they're all looking to adopt the better money. They're all seeing what we're all seeing here. They're all seeing what Michael Saylor's doing, where he's joining the NASDAQ 100. The stock's flying through the roof. Amazon shareholders are begging Jeff Bezos, please consider this.
Thank you for tuning in to the latest episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. If you really enjoyed this one, I've got another one cooking up for you. You can click that right here and you can go to the next episode, which is an absolute banger. where you know I'm bringing you only the latest and greatest guests. Or if you're looking for more macro-related content, you could check out my other channel, Macro Insights Pod. I got it linked for you right here. So where I'm bringing you more about stocks, real estate, traditional finance stuff. So go ahead and check that out. And if you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and hit that like, hit that subscribe button, and tell a friend to tell a friend. All right, enough from me. I'll see you at the next one.